It's the news, according to me. Yeah, I'm just gonna get down to the sound here a little bit this morning. I don't know if I want to talk at all. I'm just gonna sit here and bob my head to the music. A little head banging. Good morning, folks. Happy New Year. It's January. I keep wanting to say June. It's January 9th, 9:29. A lot of nines there. A.M. Eastern Standard Time. I am in the home studio. I did not get away this morning as early as I hoped I would. And so I'm just going to do the show here. I just, rather than go into the office and then do that, I'm just going to do the show here, be done, and then I'll probably go to the office later on. Anybody, oh my goodness. We have, let's just jump into my cup this morning. I have, I should call the show Jump Into the Cup. We have chai with cinnamon creamer, which is okay. We also have cinnamon bread here. I don't know what's with all the cinnamon. I mean, cinnamon cookies, cinnamon cake, cinnamon rolls. I don't know. It's a whole lot of cinnamon going on. I'm not sure what that's all about. My backup cup this morning is apple cider. Yeah. If you're noticing a little different tone in my voice, I do have a little bit of a... I don't know. There's something sinus-wise going on with me. I'm not sure what that's all about. This time of year... Well, actually, it's wintertime. When the weather's just dips below freezing, just above, it kind of goes back and forth. There's some kind of a mold or something that gets in the air. I'm not sure what's going on with heating systems. It has a tendency to cause a little bit of sinus thing with me. I'm not sure what it's all about. I need to do a neti pot. Like, I should do that live here. I should just do a neti pot while you're sitting here listening to me doing a neti pot. That's always exciting. It's better, you know, if you get the visual of that. But maybe I'll have to do a live stream and just do a neti pot live stream. I'm sure you'd all enjoy and appreciate that. Yeah, we have a couple things to talk about today. I'm concerned. There's a lot of anticipation. And of course, now I had prognosticated. I don't know if that's, I don't even know how to spell that word. I probably shouldn't use words I can't spell. But I would just be, of course, if that was the case, I would just be able to say things like, huh? I'm not even sure how to spell some of those. So, like, there's several ways to say so. I could say S-E-O, I could spell it S-O, S-O-O. I don't know, is there any other, there's probably more ways to say it. I don't know how to say it, but it's probably starts one that starts with a C, probably. C-O-E, I don't know. So, yeah, I can't stop saying so. So we have a couple things to talk about. One of the things I think that's on the docket here for me, it's kind of I want to talk about. Well, first of all, I want to say hearts go out to those who are being affected by the fires out in Los Angeles area, the Southern California. A lot of fluff, a lot of weird stuff going on. There's some conspiracy theory crap going on about out there, which some of it's probably legitimate. I don't know, but the biggest thing is it's just poor management. I know Trump weighed in on it and said it's the governor's fault. It's actually the mayor's fault. Mayor cut the budget for the fire department out there. And they actually don't have water in some areas. They turn on the fire hydrants, there's no water. Now, you're getting up into a mountainous area. It requires a certain amount of pressure to get the water pumped up there. They don't have enough water. It's just a mess. And they can't fight the fires. First of all, they don't have the budget. Now, there was recently, I think it was Norm MacDonald, might have been, was called before Congress, and this is when he was testifying, when he was a kid. He was a young kid. He was trying to get a job as a firefighter, and for the fire department out in California, and he applied, and they said, "Well, you're not." He listed off all this minority stuff. This is a white man. He said it'll be about 7 years probably before you're actually called up to do this. So 7 years later, sure enough, he gets called. He goes in to do his test and do his all of his stuff. Now, keep in mind, they will not hire firefighters over a certain age. If you're an initial firefighter, I think you can work for the volunteer department, but you can't be a full-time firefighter. And most municipalities won't even touch you. They won't even hire you if you're above like 40, 45 or 40, 30, whatever it is, 40 years old. Some of them are 38, I think. They won't even hire you because, you know, that's ageism. You're a whole different minority at that point. I know some people in their 50s. There's people in their 60s that can outdo people in their 40s, for sure. Some of them in their 30s. I've seen kids in their 30s can't. So we have, I think I could probably still outrun half the kids at the junior high school. I mean, we're talking, you know, 12, 13-year-olds, 14, some of them. Some of them are pretty fast. I think I could probably outrun some of those guys. I used to be a soccer coach, and we would run sprint drills. I'd beat them all the time. Just beat them all the time. Tell them, hey, you're being beaten by a 50-year-old man. What's wrong with you? Now I'm 60. I'd probably still beat him. Anyway, I'll stop bragging. I'm just braggadocious this morning. I don't know what that's all about. It's probably because of the shot. It's the chai, is what it is. All that caffeine pumping through my veins. We have, I need to swallow this apple cider. That's just cleans the palate. So we have this thing going on out there. What are the two major things? One is mismanagement. First of all, they've mismanaged there's this whole thing out in California. A friend of mine lives out there, and we had a dead tree in our yard, and we're cutting our had several of them. We actually had a bunch of the boar weevil or whatever it is, the moth worm, whatever it was, thing got into a bunch of our ash trees, and we had about seven or eight of them we had to take down on our property here. So we're cutting some of them down, and we had to get a few more of them removed as well. And of course, I wanted to keep the trunks. Ash wood is actually extremely expensive, and it's an incredible wood. It actually gets as it dries, it actually becomes harder. It's a very hard wood. It's a very good wood to make furniture and lumber and that kind of thing out of. And I had plans to do some things with the trunks on these. Some of the trunks on these trees were pretty good sized trunks, and they're fairly straight. And someone in our household, the other person, decided we were going to pay somebody to take them down and haul them off, and I didn't really like that idea too well, and I said I wanted to keep some of the lumber. Well, he left the pine trees that we had taken down. Crappy, rotted out dead pine. That's what he left me. I don't know what to do with that other than just cut it up and use it for outside, you know, flame fire, I guess. I don't know what else to do with it. I can try to maybe make some lumber out of some of it, but it's not going to be, you know, no, it's not going to happen. So I'm not real excited about that because there's not really a whole lot of, so my whole vision for the lumber is kind of, it's gone. I saw him drive off in the trailer with the trailer full of all the ash. He didn't chop those up in little pieces. He saved all the trunks because I know what he's going to do with that. He's going to sell that. Probably made more off of those trunks than I paid him for to take them down. But that's beside the point. I digress. I'm over it now. You can tell. I'm really over it. By the way, I think the stock market is closed today because of Jimmy Carter. I'm not positive of that. I just let me double check it. Let me take a look here and see what's going on. Well, this is after market. This is after hours trading. I thought that was going to be closed as well. But yeah, it's not doing anything right there. So. Yeah, it's everything's flatlined pretty much. It's just going sideways. Everything's going sideways right now. The markets are closed to honor U.S. President Jimmy Carter because, you know, he has a lot to do with our booming economy. Yeah, we have a lot of things going on. We have this whole thing with the fire, it's Trump kind of came out and blamed the governor. Of course, everybody's laughing. Oh, it's, you know, they're all saying it's the governor's fault. Trump says it's the governor's fault. Everybody thinks that's kind of funny. It actually is the governor's fault. There was a, and I've got some audio of some of this stuff, of the, these are some experts talking about the mismanagement of the land. It's been mismanaged for a long time, actually. And I want to play some of those here in a little bit. They allow so much undergrowth, and they don't allow forestation because, like I was saying, we're having our trees taken down. And I had to post a little thing on Facebook. I used to post on Facebook all the time, just post what was going on. And I took this one tree down, and this lady, she's a radical left-wing lunatic. She saw us taking,
it's so sad that you have to take a tree down, but I guess, you know, it's all this tree, all the poor trees.
Literally a tree hugger. This person would have wanted to come out and hug the tree before we cut it down because now it was dead. Keep in mind, this thing was dead. It's probably going to fall on somebody and hurt them. But she was all upset because the tree was being taken down. Now, you have to keep in mind, she's living out in a desert in California, and she doesn't realize that trees are, you know, they just grow everywhere here. We have water, green grass, and the trees grow everywhere. That's why we choose to live here. Because, you know, it's livable. We don't have to truck our water in, paint our grass green, have AstroTurf for our lawn. I lived in San Diego for a while, and I was amazed at how people would compensate for not having any water out there. Now, this is back in the 80s, back when any water you did get tasted like pool water because they so heavily chlorinated everything. Who knows what else they were putting in it. And on top of that, there wasn't any water. They wouldn't allow you to water your lawn, wouldn't allow you to do anything like that, of course. And a lot of the houses that I would go by, they had like crushed rock in their yard, and they painted it green to make it look like grass. It was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever seen in my life, coming from where I come from. And of course, when I came home one time, I was out there. I was gonna live out there. Came home one time, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not going back out there. This is ridiculous. Everything's green. There's like 27,000 shades of green here." And I said something to somebody about it. I said, "Well, but yeah, but there's so many shades of brown out there. Really? I mean, I can testify that there's a lot of shades of brown. I've looked in I'm not going to go down that road. Okay, so we have, I could easily turn this into a fifth grader thing, but I'm not going to do that. We have, my friend from South America would understand, I think. He would get my humor in that whole thing. So what we have here, we have this issue going on out in California, and the problem is they think that any kind of, if you do anything to the woods, you can't have forestation, you can't have deforestation because, you know, that we can't thin the forest out because we're cutting down those trees, those wonderful trees out there. And of course, you just allow them to continue to grow, die, undergrowth, dries out, catches fire. And it burns in every single direction that there. It just burns everything, and you can't stop it, especially when you don't have any water.
Well, it's global warming. That's global warming happening. That's what global warming catches all the trees on fire.
No, it doesn't get that hot. We're talking, you know, the globe is warmed up 1 degree, and that catches all the trees on fire. I don't think so. But that's what they'd have you to believe. And, you know, it's wintertime. It's the dry season. It's cooler right now than it was in the summer. And yet the trees are on fire. Just the ridiculous. what are they teaching kids in school nowadays? I don't understand the whole – they have no scientific understanding of critical thinking. And there's nothing. There's nothing there. There's just – there's nothing in their heads other than social issues, social constructs. Just ridiculous stuff. I don't know what's going on. The other side of it is that the mayor was off in Ghana, and my understanding is it was just a vacation. Vacationing in Ghana, the mayor of Los Angeles was off. And, of course, on her way back, she's being questioned at the airport. You can tell she's on the jet bridge, and she's – I don't know how this reporter got – I don't know how this – they're on a jet bridge, and she's obviously waiting for, like, her check bags or something at the jet bridge. Like you know, you can gate check bags and pick them back. She's sitting there waiting and on this jet bridge, and a reporter's asking her questions and saying, well, you know, what do you have to say to the people that, you know, do you want to apologize to the people for cutting their budget, for the cutting the budget to the fire department? She doesn't say anything. She doesn't respond to anything. She doesn't even say hello. She doesn't say, you know, boo, nothing, no response, nothing. Just completely ignores the guy. He goes on and on and on and asks her these questions forever. In fact, let me see if I can pull this up. This is pretty it's pretty telling, really. See if I can pull this up without it'll probably have to pull it up on here. Let's see what we can get out of this. See if we can get it.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor?
She's looking down at the floor.
Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster?
She's just looking out the window.
No apology for them.
Looking for her bag.
Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
Oh, now they told everybody to pick him up at the top of the jet bridge. I've been through this enough. She just nods her head and then she moves on. I can tell. I know exactly what she was waiting for her carry-on. That she gate checked, and I guarantee the person came up to the window and just said they'll have them up at the door for you. Now I don't know how this reporter happened to catch her. He must have been on the flight. There's no way he could have gone down the jet bridge and gotten there to ask her these questions. This is very strange. So he must have been on the flight and saw, you know, caught the opportunity and decided to jump in and start asking her questions, which is brilliant. I mean, on his part, it's like good for him for being ready to go, you know, at a moment's notice like that. I run into people like this all the time. I wouldn't recognize. I probably have flown sitting next to world famous people and not even known it. Because I just don't know. I don't pay attention to anybody. I'm so wrapped up in my own life. I wouldn't even know who they are. Probably. I don't know. Oh, no, I have seen some people in airports. I did see Brett Baer recently. Most recently was Brett Baer last year. I saw him. And I wanted to stop, you know, pull up and ask him some questions. But he's a journalist. He can – I'm not going to – if he was a politician, I'd probably be more like that. I did see Eric Swalwell in Chicago one day. And if I would have had time, I would have done it. But I was on my way out and I didn't have time. I was trying to catch – a ride out of there, and I just didn't have time. But he was walking there with, he had like another guy with him, like one or two people with him. He does not look anything in person like he looks on television. Let's just put it that way. He is a very he looked like a slob. I don't know any other way to put it. He was very sloppy. Maybe that's part of his disguise. Maybe he puts on 30 pounds and wears crappy clothes and. That's, you know, it doesn't shave. Maybe that's part of his, you know, brilliant disguise that he does. So he's, you know, I don't know. I didn't see Fang Fang anywhere, so probably. Anyway, so they have this that going on out there. And it's poor management. It's poor appropriation of funds. I mean, that for a city that collects, you know, so many taxes, the state and city there, it's like Chicago. They just everything costs so much money out there. And you turn around and say they're going to cut the budget for the fire department. And, of course, then everybody's house is burned. And a lot of those people, what they're going to find out now is that they don't have fire insurance. Because, and I'm not talking about the religious kind. I'm talking about the kind where a mass wave of, they're going to call this an act of God or whatever they're going to call it. They're going to get out of this in a lot of ways. And these are multi-million dollar homes out there. I mean, just regular house. A regular house in L.A. is ridiculous. It's 10 times the price of what my house cost here with 7 acres. And you get a little house with 2 bedrooms on a little plot out there. If it's anywhere, in the city or around the city or any place that's, decent to live, you're talking a couple $1 million. Probably more than that. And let's see what the average price of a home. Let's just type in here, average price of a home in Southern California. Let's see what it is. Median house since 1999. It's in 1990. Data Statistics California Association of Research. Here we go. Southern California housing market. This will be the best one probably. Yeah, 26. And of course they have to bury it down here somewhere. They don't actually just have it right up there for you to see it. Homes in Southern California have decreased by a substantial 16.5%. You know why? That was over October. They're back up 8.7% in November. Most of that was because of the people were leaving California, and it tends to cause housing prices. The median sold price in November 2024. Was $850,000. I believe that's up to almost $1 million now. I think it's 900 and something now. At the beginning of this year, I don't see it on here though. It doesn't say this particular article doesn't have it. $850,000. That's the average price of a home out there. That includes slums. Now, when you get into that's rural areas as well as places out in the desert, as well as places that are in town. The places in town are ridiculous. And I don't see any end to this. Of course, now they're paying all this money in taxes. By the way, I just saw an article. There's a place down in Texas. I can't believe Texas, of all places, is doing this. There's this new ruling on eminent domain, apparently. And one of the things that they are saying about that I guess governments are getting away with in eminent domain is this whole thing of where did that go? I don't see it anywhere here. Oh, I was going to play this. I was going to have a bunch of audio all lined up to play, and I don't see it here now at all. How is that possible? Oh, here it is. I'm going to I'll play a few clips here in a little bit. This eminent domain thing, they're coming in and taking people's farms. Now they're offering them a decent fair wage or decent fair amount for their farms, but there are people who don't want to sell. It's been in their family for 145 years or whatever, and they don't want to sell it. They want to keep it or whatever for 45 years or whatever. They've done everything that they can. Their blood, sweat, and tears have been put into this land, and they've got their farm there. They've got their animals. Everything is there. Their whole livelihood is kind of on their farm, their homestead. And they just want to come in and take them. And they're not building a road. They're not building a community building. They're not building anything that's, eminent domain has become something different. They're not doing something that's going to provide for the community. What they're doing is coming in and selling it to developers. The government comes in and buys it, then sells it to developers to build high-priced homes and developments on it, so, because they can collect more for property tax that way. Because it's better for the government, not better for the people, better for the government.
Well, if the government's got more money, then they can give more stuff away.
Well, that's the problem right there. There you go. So you just take people's homes away so that you can give them more subsidies so you can get the... This whole thing is just ridiculous.
I'm going to settle down. I'll take a sip of chai. So.
Calm my nerves. Get a little more caffeine in there. That'll help. So, all this stuff going on. And we have... all this stuff going on. So people are kind of complaining about it. And I've got some audio I'll play here of some of the things that have been happening out in California recently. And there's something else I want to get into. So I don't want to cover this too much longer. We'll talk about it for just a little bit. And because I want to talk about some things that are going on with Trump and the inauguration, Jimmy Carter's funeral, which is today. I believe it's today. There's three different things. There's the 9th, the 19th, and I think the 20th, three different times that the President Trump's going to be highly exposed. And we're going to talk about some of those kinds of things and what's going on with Dan Bongino and some of the Secret Service stuff and some military ops guys, and some people are saying some things, as well as PBD. We'll get into all this stuff in just a little bit, but I want to talk about this little fire thing here just real quick. So this guy is a former mayoral candidate, and he's also a real estate developer, understands real estate. And of course, now they also, right before this, they were talking about how a lot of the insurance companies won't even insure them for forest fires because of the danger that's there. Now, if their home catches on fire due to electrical problem, that kind of thing, they'll insure them for that, but they won't insure them for the forest fire thing. And so a lot of these homes are not going to be insured. And of course, they're going to be wanting a government bailout. You need a government bailout to help us. These are million-dollar, these are mostly Hollywood types. Famous people or people who want to be living near them because they can afford it, you know, that made their money in the tech industry, whatever they're doing. These are 1%ers. These are probably less than 1%ers, actually. These are probably the half percenters that are living in this area, mostly. Well, let's see what this guy has to say. And this is exactly what's going on here. And this guy was kind of an expert on the whole
former
thing.
Former L.A. mayoral candidate and real estate developer Rick Caruso criticizing the city's response to the windstorm and fires. He says officials should have been more prepared.
The real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spread so quickly. And the second is, you got to have water. And my understanding is the reservoir was not refilled in time and in a timely manner to keep the hydrants going. So that's a failure, whether on DWP's part or another city agency. But this is basic stuff. This isn't high science here.
Yes.
So we have that's the kind of stuff that's going on. It's like you said, basic stuff. This is basic stuff. And of course, they chastised Donald Trump for coming out and saying something about how they've mismanaged it. This is the governor and the mayor. This is all about government and what everything that they're doing there. And by the way, getting back to that Norm MacDonald story, he continued to testify. He said 7 years later he got called up. He went in there and ended up getting standing in line. He said there was a black woman behind him. He asked her how long she'd been. When she applied, how long ago it was that she applied for the position, how long she had to wait to get called in. Last Wednesday. This was on a Monday. Four business days, if you include Wednesday. And then he went on to say, that's been my experience with white privilege. Of course, it was a joke that didn't fly well with the woke crowd in Washington. Yes, so that's where, there you go. Now, there's a really interesting, if you get a chance to watch Patrick Bet-David, Valuetainment, I used to like to watch his show a lot. I don't watch it as much as I used to. He was making this speech, I think it was at a conference or something, he was talking about this issue, the thing that was going on. There's this guy out there that, I'm not going to go through the whole string of people who are really, you know, that are tied to this particular chain of events, chain of people who know, people who know, people who know. But PBD was curious about talking to this particular individual, and it's this guy who was supposedly involved in some high level government intel. Now, you have to be very careful with some of this stuff. There are, you know, everybody's picking on Sean Ryan right now. There's and what's her name? She's very well known in the conspiracy theory world. I gotta think of her name. Let me think here for a minute. I'll come up with it. Yeah, Whitney Webb. Whitney Webb. She's interviewed many times on some of the more like Jimmy Dore, occasionally on what's the other one? On Redacted has her on quite a bit. Several shows she's been on. I've seen her on quite a few number of shows. She is this interesting personality. She has a. She's kind of a brainiac. She probably has an eidetic memory, which is a photographic memory. She can read reports and do things. When she tells these stories about all these people who are connected to this person, that person's connected to that person, they're part of an organization that does this, blah, 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 blah. She can go on for 5 minutes without taking a breath sometimes about things. It sounds very convincing. Like she's very well read and knows her way into it. She's very careful about saying this is speculative, but it is very careful about all those things. Seems to be very intelligent. I have some suspicions about her. Now, she wrote a book. She's written several books, but I think she writes books occasionally about different things. Let's see what she's got. Let's just check into this. Whitney Webb book writing. Whitney. Books for sale. There we go. Whitney Webb books for sale. Let's see what all she's got here. One Nation Under Blackmail. Healthy Health. Whitney Sizer Webb. I don't know if that's the same person or not. One Nation Under Blackmail. That's apparently her most recent big one. It's $30. $28. Wow. Yeah, apparently her most recent and most popular book is One Nation Under What. I thought she wrote a book before that kind of made her popular, more popular. When she came out with initially, it was something about the government. And this is the kind of thing. Let's see if she's got an official site on. See if she's got more books on there. Nation Under Blackmail, Whitney Webb, biography and the untold story of her life, career, family background, relationships, awards. Descent. The human. Yeah, I don't see anything else there. Amy Webb. That's Sean Webb. Yeah, there's okay. All right. She's written a few books, fairly popular books, apparently. And here's my concern with this lady. She talks and talks and talks like a brainiac, like she's got all this stuff, you know, in the pocket, that she knows all this information. She's done all this research. It's almost as if, and I know she this may just be the way she talks, because some people do talk this way. But when she goes on and on with some of this stuff, it's almost as if she's reading from a script. Now, I know that if you're immersed, trust me, I know, if you're immersed in wanting to write a book, or if you write a book, you have poured over this information over and over and over, and you just know it like it's the back of your hand. You can spout this information out because you've written it and rewritten it, and you've gone over it, and you've talked about it, 100,000 times, and it's just all the information is there. You can just call it up anytime you want because it's in the front of your memory. And that may be why she's able to do this, because she's so steeped in the information. Now the other side of it is she could very, very easily be part of a psyop. I know this is it's a counter. And don't think for a minute that there's not people at the CIA that are working on counter psyop stuff, psychological warfare stuff with the American people. They will put stuff out. Here's the sneaky part of this. This is what they do. This is what the government does. This is what these creepy Megula type people do. They'll find somebody out there. Keep in mind, Alphabet is the company that owns Google, that runs the search engine. They have all kinds of algorithms. They can do all kinds of things. They can throttle you on a particular channel out of all the they're not just looking at you. There's not a person looking at you. It's an algorithm that looks at you. When I post something on YouTube, when I post a video on YouTube, if it has my name or my account connected to it, I guarantee you it's going in the trash can before it even out gets. It's not going to get placed in anybody's news feed. That bridge was burned 12 years ago when they figured out this whole shadow banning thing. Been through that. And so now, interestingly enough, the podcast thing, they haven't caught up with me there. I am being throttled. I know I am. Because of that, some of the things I say, I know that I use certain words. I know that whether I use two different platforms to post my podcasts on, because just in case one of them gets throttled more than the other. And I know that one of them gets throttled a lot. But and of course they post to different things like Spotify and Apple podcasts. And those particular things, I know they get hit pretty hard. But the amazing thing is that, some of these people that are out there that are saying the same things I am, using the same words, they shoot to the top. Now, here's the thing. They can control, if they find somebody out there, like Off Grid with Doug and Stacey, there's a couple different channels that I watch, and these people they're always getting all worked up about stuff that they find. Oh, look at this. We found this, and they're doing this. So, I think you saw the thing this morning off-grid with Doug and Stacey, and Doug was going on this whole thing about how the fires are being caused by, there's this guy that watches the radar all the time, this weird stuff going on in Area 51, and something happened that's blowing right over the top of this area that's on fire, and this was happening, months ago, and it's been like almost as if they're dispersing something into the air. It's making these forest fires more dangerous. I posted something a while back about the Twin Towers. This is still going on. People are still just chomping at the bit. These kids who weren't alive during 9/11, let alone working in the airline industry on 9/11, understanding what happened there. Folks, I was an airline pilot on 9/11. And afterwards, we received all kinds of briefings and all kinds of safety information and all kinds of things were going on. And we got actual data about what happened that day. And then we lived through that, all the different agencies, organizations, everything else that came about because of it. The way they used it, the fear, and everybody was afraid of a terrorist behind every bush. Bush, get it? And how everybody was all concerned about that. They used that to spend billions and billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, really, to establish the Homeland Security and TSA and all this other stuff that was going on so they could harass us. Now, I happen to know right now, and in fact, I'm going to be making sending some letters off. I took a picture recently of, there's the thing called KCM, known crew member, that airlines pay for. It's the city. It's kind of a joint operation that an airport will pay partially some of the expense of, as well as the airlines themselves. They pay the expense for having this thing called known crew member, KCM, at an airport. Not all airports have them, but some of them do. So when the crew comes through to go to their airplane, they've gone through background checks. They've gone through all this information that, you know, the government's checked them out. They got their fingerprints. They got all this information on them. And they give them a special card. They can walk up to this special little kiosk. There's got to be a person there who's signed in and can check all their data. And if you're in uniform, which makes no sense to me whatsoever, none. If you're in uniform going through there, and they, you know, you put your little card up there and they scan it, and then they check your other, you have to have another form of ID, and then you also have to have your company badge. And you do all this stuff, and I'm not giving you any proprietary information. This is all information that's on the internet. This isn't C only. It's not what do they call it, sensitive material. This is all in the online. You can find it all online. I'm not telling you anything you can't find on there. And you go through there. Well, here's what bothers me. They do these random checks, which is fine. That's a random check us. That's fine. What are you looking for? I'm the pilot. I'm walking through the KCM, and I've got control of the airplane already. You know, if I were crazy and I was going to do something stupid, I've already got control of the airplane. What are you looking for? My clippers? Too much hair gel? Which they, you know, the other little secret here is that a pilot in uniform can walk through security. Even walk through the magnetometer and all the other stuff with whatever they want in their bag. They can put a big tub of shampoo in their bag, believe it or not. As dangerous as that is, it's not. And go through security. As long as it's in their bag, they're fine. Now, you can also carry a bottle of water. You can you can carry a cup of tea or whatever you got. You can carry that as long as you can carry it through the magnetometer. As long as you're in uniform. Now, if you're not in uniform, you're a different person. You got the same badges. The same background check. You got everything's the same. But if you're not in uniform, now you can't take your liquids with you. You have to be in uniform. Any knucklehead that's good enough at forging badges can certainly go to Sporty's pilot shop and buy a shirt, a pilot shirt, or make their own for that matter, and wear it through there and all of a sudden carry whatever liquids they want to carry. It's ridiculous. They're just putting crew members through more of a hassle than they really need to. And my question is, what are you finding? What are you finding in all this stuff? You're harassing crew members. You're slowing them down. So here's how it always goes. A crew shows up. There's four, five, six people there. There's no captain, first officer, and maybe four flight attendants. Half of them get randomed. This is what's been happening lately. I've got a picture of this. I took a picture on the other side of security. They're all standing around waiting for the rest of their crew to get through because they all got random. You know, it only takes one. And one out of the crew, usually the crew sits around and waits. Now, sometimes the pilots will go ahead. Sometimes the flight attendants will go ahead because they can't start boarding without the flight attendants there. The whole purpose of the KCM program was to get crews through faster because why? Rest. Sometimes you only have 10 hours of rest overnight. And sometimes you only have 8 hours behind the door. That's all that's required. Now, what happens there is you show up at the airport and you land and you get in and the van is late to get you to the airport, to get you to the hotel. You only have 10 hours off. So you have to have a minimum of 10 hours off between your rest time. So what's considered rest time. So you get in and you're running late. You're running 2 hours late. You've already cut into your 12-hour overnight. So now you've only got 10 hours. You get there. The van is late. So you might have gotten in at 9 o'clock. And you have to have a 7 o'clock show the next morning. You got to be at the airport at 7 o'clock the next morning. Well, you're 9 o'clock. You only got 10 hours. Van's late. Or the van gets stuck in snow. Whatever happens there, you don't get to the hotel for an hour. You get to the hotel, you might have to wait 20 minutes for the van. Or the van doesn't show up and they let you know, hey, well, our van's not working. Our van broke down. So you got to get an Uber. Now you got to wait for the Uber or a taxi or whatever you got to get. But you have to find, you know, you have to expense that later because the company won't just pay for it. You get there, you get to the hotel, and your rooms, we haven't, for some reason, there's something wrong with the system, and we can't get you in your room right away. Okay, so now we're down to, we have to be back at the airport in 8 hours, or 9 hours. It's taken an hour now to get this all straightened out. You get up to the room, and it's now 2 hours since you've been at the airport, since you got in at 9 o'clock. So now it's almost 11 o'clock, and you get to the door of your hotel room. And your key doesn't work. So you get back down. And you get that figured out. You come back up. Now it's 8:30. Now it's 11:30. Whatever it is. Well, you're not going to get back up again at 6 o'clock. You know, with 5 hours of rest or whatever you're going to get. By the time you get in the room, get yourself ready to go, you know, get in bed, get some rest. And then get back up again to catch the van back out again tomorrow, the next morning at 6 o'clock or 6:30, whatever you got. 6 o'clock actually, because you got to show up to the airport 45 minutes prior to your departure time. Your departure time is 7 o'clock. You got to be there at 6:15, so you got to get on a 6 o'clock van, which means you got to get up at 5:30 at least. So you're gonna be sleeping for about 6 hours. Well, you have to have 8 hours behind that door. That's the FAA regulation. You have to have 8 hours behind the door. So you get behind the door, you call scheduling, and you wait on hold for 20 minutes. I'm not bitter about any of this. But you wait for them to answer the phone. And you tell them, hey, I just got behind the door. It's 11:30. I'm going to have 8 hours behind this door. It'll be 7:30 before I leave this door and check out. So you can make the van 7:45, and we're going to leave from there. So we're not going to be at the airport. This flight's not going to be on time in the morning. Just let them know. And I'm getting grumpy, you know, at this point. So this kind of thing happens. And the reason that they've got KCM is because that way when we get to the airport, we can just walk through. It saves us on rest time. It gets the flight out sooner, gets the flight out earlier, gets us to the plane so we don't have to push our way. You'd be surprised when a crew walks through regular security. You'd be surprised how many people will jump in front of you to go through security. Excuse me, I'm wearing a uniform. I'm a pilot. I'm going to be flying your plane. And if I don't get there, I know you got a connection to make, but if I don't get to your plane before you do, you're not going to leave before I do. That's for sure. And I got things I got to get ready for you to get on that plane to make your connection in Chicago or Dallas or wherever you're going. But you'd be surprised. Not just one person, it'd be four or five people. You'd be standing there waiting to get, you know, trying to squeeze yourself in to go to the front of the line. And it takes TSA to tell people, hey, back off, let the pilot through. You'd be amazed at how many times that happens. I bet it's 80% of the time. People are just so caught up in their, I get it. They're trying to get, make their flight. I don't care about the pilot. Whatever. Just let the pilot, look, I guarantee you the pilot's going to take less time than anybody else in front of you. Because they do it a million times. Plus, they're not going to stop them for anything. They're not going to go through the little strip search, you know, thing either. They're going to go through the regular magnetometer. So, yeah, I'm not bitter about it. But so here, this is what happens. Now, what's been happening? Now, normally, they were randoming these people about once out of every 10 or 15 times, maybe 10% of the time you get randomed, which is still more than enough. It's way more than they need to. Well, lately, what I've been understanding is everybody I've been talking to in the industry, it's been 60%. In fact, one guy I talked to 8 out of the last 8 times Through KCM, he has been randomed. The captain that was with him, 7 out of the last 8 times, randomed. This is not random anymore, first of all. Secondly, what are you finding? They're looking for, I know what they're looking for, and they're not finding this either. Contraband is what they're looking for. They're looking for drugs. They're looking for anything like that that they can find. And I guarantee you, they're not finding any of that. You can't be on the road in this job and risk your career. Pilots don't do that. They just don't risk their careers for this. They might find 1 out of every 10,000 pilots that go through there. Or maybe that somebody forgets a weapon or something weird like that. But what are they going to do with that? How many pilots are bringing down airplanes lately? What's going on with this? You've already got control of the airplane. The first people who died on 9/11 were crew members. Many of them trying to defend the airplane. Because they were being obedient to the FAA and not doing anything about it because we're supposed to comply with the hijackers. You're supposed to comply. That's everybody was told we were just supposed to comply. I'll guarantee you if I'd have been a pilot that day, I would not have been complying. I already had it in my head that if anybody ever tried to break into the cockpit, I was not going to comply with what they wanted. I'm sorry. I'd probably end up dead. But a lot of people ended up dead that day because they complied. You get to me, I'm the last line of defense if I'm the captain on that airplane. If I die, everybody's dying, and maybe more people on the ground are dying. So let's just face the fact that I'm going to do what I need to do to survive. And I don't care. There's no FAA person going to stand up there and say, "Oh, you can't do that." I'm in control of the airplane right now. I'm in charge. You sit down there, eat your donut, drink your coffee, and tell everybody else what to do. This is what's going to happen on this airplane right now, and I'll guarantee you, we will survive this. We've got a better chance of it. This is the kind of thing that just really grinds my grits. And I'm seeing what I'm seeing happening now. I've got pictures of this. I took a picture of at the airport the other day. Crew standing on the inside of security. There was about 12 of them standing there waiting for the rest of their crew coming through. This is like three different flight crews, just standing there waiting for their, because they're not, typically crews stay together. That's just typically the way things work. Somebody gets random, we're all waiting for the person to come through. It's over 60% right now. What are you finding? What's the problem? What are we looking for? I get so upset for these people because I understand the stress that they're under already. They're working them like crazy. They're gone. You know, I went through. I was getting on an airplane a while back, and when I was a pilot, and I was getting on this airplane, and I was going home, trying to jump seat home. And the guy at the counter, I said, he goes, "How long have you been working?" I said, "I've been on for 5 days." And he goes, "How many days you got off?" I got three off. Oh, I'd love to do that. I'd love to get work 5 and get 3 off. That sounds great. I'd love to. He kept going on about it. I said, "Are you home every night?" Like I was angry because I was tired. It was a 5 day stretch. I've been gone. I said, "Are you home every night?" He goes, "Oh yeah. I work 12-hour days sometimes." So do I. Well, I'm not home every night. I get home for 3 days and I come back and I can be gone another 5 days. See, I'm home less than half of the year. I spend less than half of my year is spent at home. Think about that, missing out on everything at home for a year, for 6 months. 6 months of your life, of your year, you spent gone. You think that's fun? It gets good? Oh, I guess I didn't think of it that way. Yeah, you didn't think about it at all. Thinking that we got this cush life where we just work 5 days and we get 3 days off. We only work half the month. Or we're only home half the month, sometimes less. 12 days off in a month. 12. You do the math on that. There's usually 30 days in a month. Crew members sacrifice a lot for what they do. And they usually don't get paid nearly enough. All I'm going to say. I'm definitely going to be writing some letters on behalf of pilots everywhere trying to get through KCM because it has become a problem. And I don't know what they're looking for. They won't tell us what they're looking for or what they're finding, of course, because that's all, it's top secret. Can't let you know what we're looking for. And usually it's not the people at the KCM. It's usually not the problem with TCA, the local agents. Not this is all set up someplace in bureaucracy. And what I've been heard is it's coming down from the top. This is punitive, in my opinion. And everybody suffers for it. And it's doing nothing but making people more tired, taking more time to get flights done, making us later off the gate, which makes the rest of our day later. One thing after another, and you go here, change planes, go there, do this, change planes again, you go there, get done with your day, and now the next thing you know, you're falling behind, and you got de-icing to do, you got all this stuff to go, it goes on. It's just one thing after another. Trust me, 8,000 hours as a captain on an airliner. I've been through all this. I understand what they're going through. So there, that's all I'm going to say about that. That's all I'm going to say about that. So I'm just going to be done with it. Here, I'm just going to drink the rest of my chai. Because it's starting to get cold. I need to use one of those little heated mugs. All right, it's all gone. All I have left is apple cider. And it's good. Okay, so Dan Bongino was recently very concerned about how President Trump is going to be exposed. One of the things I think the key comment that he made, the thing that really stuck with me, was he said this. He said, the Secret Service, I know President Trump really trusts some of the people. He knows some of the people in the Secret Service. He really trusts them. You don't understand. The deep state is much bigger than I think we realize. And hopefully he's not underestimating it again, because this could be extremely serious situation. There is so much more that can happen, especially there's a couple different times here where it can be exposed. And the Secret Service is not his Secret Service until January 20th. And even then, this could be much bigger than what we care to know. There are some theories out there, and I have to have, knowing how the deep state operates and just how they kind of think, getting back to this whole thing about the information, the misinformation, disinformation thing, and the PSYOP operations. This guy, Doug from Doug and Stacey Off Grid, he could be getting fed information when he does a search, things come across his news feed. They could be putting things in there to make him go off the deep end and connect all these dots. He comes up with all these theories. They find somebody who's out there, who's influenceable, who has some influence. And they can start feeding them. I'm not saying that's what's happening to him. I'm saying this could be going on. I would not put this past what they do. They could be doing it to me. Now, I have a tendency to do some creative ways of finding information out and doing some searches. And so I'm trying to avoid being influenced by ridiculousness. But you never know. You have to look at everything with some skepticism. Even people, things from Sean Ryan. I have a lot of trust in Sean, but Sean could be getting manipulated. He was involved in the CIA for a while. He's a special ops guy as well. Now, some of these people who say they have government clearance, they're still involved in some of this stuff. Now, look at some of the movies that are being produced. I mean, they're still planted everywhere. They come up with ideas. There's an audio. There's a thing with this is just recent, this is like a couple weeks, within the last week or two, Stephen Colbert, he ended up interviewing this lady and talking about this. There's some kind of show that's like it's a government agency show of some kind. Like they have this, it's all about doing something, Homeland or whatever it's called. And she let's get out of the bag that they have this special spy camp that the CIA puts on, that they bring everybody in for, and they learn about, you know, stuff and show ideas and all this different things that they do. And they meet these real spies and CIA people and all this stuff. And they interact with them and how they, and she kind of starts going on about how the, during the Trump administration, how the CIA and some other organizations were kind of finding, they were kind of allying themselves with the media because the administration was kind of hard on them. In other words, they were taking sides. They were against the Trump administration. She didn't say it that way, but that's what's going on. That wasn't even a skip across the pond there. That was right there, what she said. I'll play that. Try to play that tomorrow if I can find it. I think I was going to do that today. I forgot. I'm running kind of short on time right now. But the problem is that there's these people now. And of course, this one guy came out and said, and he actually was talking to PBD about this. And this came back to this whole thing, trying to circle this whole thing back to, you know, unlike Jen Psaki, I actually circle back on things sometimes, if I remember. So the problem is this guy was being interviewed that he wanted to talk to PBD about some stuff. And it was the whole thing about Trump's exposure and some of the things that he's looking at potentially being, you know, at risk here in the next few weeks, and even beyond that, but in the next couple weeks. And one of his things, and of course, PBD, you know, he had this interview with him. He talked to him. He said, "But I need to know your name." And they talked to him on the phone, I guess, a couple times, and he said, "I have to know your name. I'm not going to give you my name." He said, "Well, that adds credibility. I can't put you on. I can't do an interview with you. I can't do anything unless you give me your name." So apparently, this guy went to meet with PBD. And he ended up finally giving him his name. And then, of course, PBD went and looked him up and looked at all the stuff and seen who the guy was. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, okay, this guy's a real deal. He's, everybody would know. This guy's gotten some awards. Everybody would know who he was if I even mentioned anything that he's done. He's real deal." And of course, this guy was physically and, you know, emotionally upset about the whole thing, and it was didn't want to go. Was obviously didn't want to be put on the spot. Didn't want to be even like his voice didn't. He's very careful about the interview. He's very, very concerned about being interviewed. He just wanted to give him the information without being interviewed. Didn't want to let anybody know what he's doing because he's scared of it. He's scared out of his wits. Genuinely scared. And one of the things, three of the things, that the information that came out was, now here's what can happen. This is, think about this. The president shows up for Jimmy Carter's funeral. He has a detail there, a Secret Service detail, of course, but there's Secret Service everywhere because of all that's going on. What if there's a drone swarm? Are they ready to defend against that? What if there is some kind of let's just say an explosive device of some kind that just, you know, incapacitates the president and the president-elect or whatever's going on here, whatever's happening. What if there is an incident? Now, also on the 19th, there's something on the 19th of this month, I guess, the day before the inauguration. He's going to some kind of ceremony that he's also exposed to some extent. And then there's the inauguration itself. What if there's some kind of a major event that happens during that at that time? Now, keep in mind, J.D. Vance is in the wings, and here's why I give this some credibility without there's something suspicious, and this is what gives me some suspicion in this whole thing in terms of what's going on and why I believe that there may be an event. I'm 50% on this. It's 50-50 for me. I think it's a very good possibility that there may be an event. In fact, I'm leaning more towards 51%. There could be an event of some sort. Because here's why. The left has been very calm and collected. Kamala Harris does the January 6th event. She holds it together pretty well. Doesn't seem to be too upset about it. Seems to be pretty calm. Now, obviously, she's not going to be the president on January 20th. Well, I mean, after January 20th, I should say. She could be January 20th. Biden could still step down. She becomes president immediately. Now, I don't think Biden will want... I think there's enough animus that Biden's going to hang on to that as long as he can. He's not going to just excuse himself. They would have to do something pretty serious to threaten him, I think, in order to let that go right now. Which they could. Or he could just, you know, they could unalive him. The other thing, you know, during this time, is that they could end up putting I'm really way over time, but they're very calm about this. In fact, Dan Goldman, all these plans that they had done for January 6th, all the stuff they were talking about before the election, even after the election, they were talking about some of this stuff, how they were going to disqualify him. And of course, I got the thing that's going on tomorrow, which is he's got to go to New York and go through the arraignment, whatever it is, the sentencing. This crazy wacko judge is doing out in New York. I don't understand this at all. I would say, you know, go pound sand, go kick rocks. What are you going to do about it? You're going to come arrest me? Going to throw me in jail for not showing up into court? Were you out of your mind? What do you think would happen if they put Donald Trump in jail right now? Well, we can let you out on the 19th. Yeah, that's not going to happen. He's the president-elect. You're not going to do that. There would be a, I think there, I don't, I just. But the end justifies the means with these people, and I guarantee you they will try to do anything they can. They are so ridiculously just off their rocker. People are just completely insane. They can't look at this guy with any kind of just common sense. Okay, President Trump is he's different. He's a different kind of individual. He's got some issues. I don't necessarily like everything about his personality. But he can get the job done. Let's let him get the job done. Give him what he needs to get the job done. Let's just move ahead. He's not going to kill everybody. He's not going to kill broadcasters. He's not going to kill his enemies. He's not going to go get us into a nuclear war unless the deep state somehow manipulates that to happen. It's just not going to happen. But that's what they'd have you to think. Oh, he's a Hitler. He's going to kill everybody. He's going to die. Oh, he's going to kill all the gay people. He's going to... What is wrong with you? So we go forward. We move forward with this whole thing. And now we have these concerns. And I'm concerned that they seem to be a little bit too quiet. I mean, they're still going down the same road. They're still bouncing down this whole Orange Man Bad thing. You still got Joy Reid and Joy Behar and all these other people out there that are, you know, you got Lawrence O'Donnell. You got the people just out of their minds. Wacko crazy. I mean, even the people who used to be crazy have actually kind of come around and going, hey, you know what? I think we're being a little crazy. People like Chink Uger and people like Chris Cuomo. All of a sudden, they're, I take ivermectin now. Even though I called it horse, you know, food and said Joe Rogan was, an idiot. But that's, I'm taking it now. I'm swallowing Red Pill now. That's, I don't know. They're just out of their minds. So, I think I have talked enough. We're coming up on 10 minutes. An hour and 10 minutes, I should say. 10 minutes over. Well over where I normally am. Folks, thanks for listening. Hopefully you had a great week. keep praying for Donald Trump. Pray for our nation. Pray for stability, wisdom, truth, transparency,
and the American way.
Folks, God bless. Have a great day. Take care.
See ya.
Still playing. Yeah, it's going to keep playing for a little while before the exit music actually kicks in. I think I stopped a little too soon there. So I guess I'll just keep talking for a little while. I don't know what else to do because it's... For those of you who are still listening, thanks again for listening. And I'll... God bless. Double blessing there on you. See ya!